You're listening to the Everyday Astrology Podcast. I'm Hilary Scott, your astrologer, and I'm here to bring you the current planetary conditions. Be sure and check back to stay tuned in to the positive, loving, evolving flow of the cosmos. So, we are about to have the first new moon of the whole new year. So, the new moon in Aries is what really kicks off our entire year ahead, really. It very much what we intend, what we initiate, what we focus on is very powerful right now. Very, very powerful. And not only that, there's other powerful stuff going on with it. So there's definitely a sense of import with what's going on in the cosmos right now. And with not only is the Aries new moon happening, so there's this gusto and fervor, there's the sun and the moon both in Aries, it's squaring Pluto and Saturn and the south node in Capricorn, as well as squaring the north node in Cancer too. So the nodes really are a way, they're kind of like portals that I always feel like that to me. So the portal of the north node leads you to the future and leads you to the experience that will allow your soul to mature and grow and develop. And the portal from the south node is what you're bringing through with you from the past. It's your past life and past experiences and past stuff. So it can be difficult, but it can also be good. Like it can be where you really developed a skill that you're bringing through with you. Maybe you are a natural writer, or you're good at speaking, or there's some sort of talent that you have now that you didn't really work too hard to get. Maybe you have an art skill. But with the Capricorn energy, it's likely Capricorn is about structure and authority and they're very much naturally, they're a cardinal sign, so they're kind of natural bosses of everything. So Pluto is there, Saturn is there. Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn, so it's very strong and comfortable moving through Capricorn. And Pluto is there helping us, and it's been a slow process. Pluto's been in Capricorn since, is that true? Since 2008? It seems like, gosh, it moves really slowly. I think it is exactly when it went in there. So as it moves through Capricorn, all of those of us influenced by the Capricorn, or are, if you're a Capricorn or you have a Capricorn moon or rising or important planets, there's definitely an area of your chart that's been undergoing this deep Plutonian transformation. And Pluto is no joke. Like when it's done with you, everything is different. And it very much is helping to assist us in becoming our true and total authentic selves. So if you do have something going on in the Capricorn area of your chart, or you've got Capricorn stuff, this is definitely more important for you. And with Pluto and Saturn and the South Node together, it can manifest as you kind of stepping into your power, but perhaps you're stepping into your power in a way that's maybe burdensome, or maybe you're resisting or not wanting to take on the responsibilities that are being set before you, or you're feeling burdened and restricted and these responsibilities aren't yours. That could be happening too, where you feel like, wait a minute, this isn't what I signed up for. This is what I'm not what I'm interested in. It doesn't resonate with who I really am. But with the Capricorn, we can kind of get stuck in roles just based on tradition, or what's expected of us, or what society expects of us, or what we presume society expects of us. So that can happen, and you might be feeling that. If you're feeling the negative stuff with the Capricorn Saturn energy, it can be a burden of sadness or grief or, gosh, there's so many kind of like difficult shame, rejection, fear of abandonment, fear of being controlled. Sometimes people stay out of relationships just because they don't want another person to have any say in their lives. So though there's a part of them that very much wants to be in a relationship, there's another part of them that very much wants to be the one that's in control of everything around them. So that can sometimes cause people to kind of deflect any sort of partnership opportunity just because their nature is one that is controlling. So keep that in mind if you have been trying to manifest a partnership or something, that it could be an aspect of your own personality not willing to give up the reins. That could be something that comes to your consciousness right now. But so the difficult stuff, this new moon with the Aries energy, this initiation, starting off, like going forward with gusto, is squaring Saturn, Pluto, South Node. So this is tricky. This could cause you to, like the negative stuff, the burdensome feeling, the being restricted, the not being able to fully accomplish what you want to accomplish. There's so many little ways it could be manifesting. Definitely a heavy burden is a good way to look at it. But it could also be that whenever there's a square, there's like action happens. It must happen. Forced growth and a need to move forward. You can't just sit on something. You have to figure it out or understand it. That could be happening too. So you might have the initiating energy and then this ability to force the growth that's necessary. So that could be where you're kind of fighting part of yourself that wants to stagnate and not move forward with the part that's like, no, we're innovating, we're initiating, we're building structure, we're building a solid foundation. And there's probably likely gifts in this area that you've come in with. So keep aware of that and don't let the burden get you down. I mean, if you're physically ill, which can happen, then you have to rest, right? You have to take care of yourself and feed yourself nurturing foods and all that obvious stuff. Drink lots of clean water. Drink water with lemon or lime so you keep your system alkaline. Maybe some apple cider vinegar. Do the little things you know to do, which I'm sure there are many, to take good care of yourself if you're not feeling strong. Because that somehow, sometimes we can, if we've been pushing too hard, life will push back and give us a cold or a flu or really knock us on our asses in some way just to slow us down and keep us kind of aware and conscious about what's going on around us and maybe stop us from pushing forth into the wrong direction. So if that's going on or there's some other burden, just realize that it is in some way helping you grow and evolve and expand, which usually our difficult stuff does, right? So there's always a purpose. It's with this new moon, like it's an initiating time and there's a wonderful trine to Jupiter. And Jupiter, also in a fire sign in Sagittarius, in its own sign, is wanting to adventure and expand and teach and learn and share. It's a very generous energy, a very like buoyant, expansive. It could bounce back from difficult situations really easily. So though there might be some challenges, I guarantee you there's some major important growth and likely some very big like discoveries in your own imagination or your own philosophy or your own sort of something that within your realm or your beliefs. You might all of a sudden have a new belief that you didn't, you didn't know was going to be helpful, but turns out to be really helpful. There's all kinds of little, like, what would that be? You know, maybe suddenly realizing, suddenly realizing that you have the power to focus healing energy on parts of your body that hurt, for instance. Maybe you didn't believe in that sort of thing before, but suddenly you've tried it for some reason or someone else showed you how to try it and you gave it a whirl and all of a sudden, whoa, this is a very helpful, expansive, healing new thing that you believe. It's just like with Jupiter, believing that you're lucky and knowing that things are going to turn out how you hope they will. Believing that everything, that's the one thing about Jupiter energy, is it helps you be very optimistic. So instead of being like, oh, sad sack Saturn, everything's going to go wrong and life sucks and there's no fun to be had. Jupiter's like, oh my gosh, like so many good things could happen and look at all these wonderful things and what if this and what if that and I wonder this and I wonder that. And it's just a much more buoyant energy. And having that energy kind of circulating through your system and that's what you're beaming out, then you attract more of that wonderful good stuff to you. So with this new moon, you've got that ability too, tapping in to this lucky, buoyant energy. Another thing that you might want to consider is to write down, be detailed, write down a detailed list. Keep a journal maybe specifically for this. It's very helpful to see what you're choosing this year. Like, think of the whole year if you can. With all this, and maybe that's where Aries energy, where this new moon is, doesn't really like to plan ahead. It's not an energy that is necessarily good at like a five-year plan, for instance. It's more of a, well, we'll see what comes up and we'll roll with it and we'll do what we want when we want. But Saturn, Pluto, the South Node in Capricorn are all saying, wait a minute, let's take this wonderful initiating energy and let's make a plan. And with Jupiter there too, even just sort of the learning of it and the discovering of new possible ways of thinking and feeling and believing can help you set in motion a really powerful year with a lot of amazing manifestations. A lot of wonderful things can come to pass. So do take the time and do it kind of like, you know, the next day or a few hours, at least once the new moon, it goes totally dark and then the light starts to be visible. And once the light starts to be visible is when it's best to set your intentions. So write them down, or you could even make, you know, an audio note to yourself, however you can get it out from you and into the real world, whether you draw it or write it or sing it or speak it or act it or paint it or sculpt it, whatever you can do to capture this little gem of a dream that you have for yourself, do it, because this is some potent energy for you to manifest your reality. And that's what we're here doing. So it's nice to be able to take control. And at least if we don't always feel in control, know that we're headed in a direction that we want to go in. And this is a new moon for that. So the exact time of the new moon is on Friday. I'm in the Pacific Standard Time. It's Friday, April 5th, the new moon in Aries. We also will have like a wonderful oomph of energy as the moon goes in to Taurus, and then it will conjoin with Uranus. So there's this big... It's tricky, though. I always find the Taurian energy, and when it mixes, especially with Uranus, which we've got the next 8 years or so to be dealing with, tricky because there's such different energies. Taurus is very stable and secure and the same, and Uranus is coming in and like busting it all up and wanting it to be new and different. So it could be, especially if you have Taurus or you're an Earth sign, that this Uranus energy could make you feel very unsettled. It could be somehow maybe something or someone comes into your life or has entered your routine in some way that's shaken it up and busting things up in ways you didn't expect things to be busted up. So it can be challenging, but it can also be invigorating and life-enhancing. And, I mean, we've got to keep rolling and got to keep moving and learning and changing to keep open to new possibilities and new experiences in life. So that can be happening where the Uranus energy shortly after the new moon is conjoining with the moon, shaking things up a bit. But then there's a lovely, on the Sunday, on the 7th, the next day, there's a lovely sextile between Mercury in Pisces and Saturn in Capricorn. And this, it's a wonderful opportunity to be clear-headed, but also take advantage of your vision and your dreams and your ideals and bringing them into the real world. It's a nice... Those two, they sextile each other. The water and the earth energy are just supportive of each other, right? Like you plant a seed in the earth and then you water it and then something beautiful grows. So that's what we've got going on here. So plant a bunch of seeds and relax. See what comes up. See what you're supposed to know. See if there's any messages coming through to you. Because we do also have this very profound conglomeration of planets. There's three, a stellium in Pisces. Pisces is that ruled by Neptune. Neptune is there, Mercury is there, and Venus is there. So it's a very gentle, inclusive, lovely, dreamy ability to tap into the other world is going on. Tricky part, though, is that Pisces can be very, like, it's more of an enjoyer of the earth plane. It's more of a, oh, let me observe and partake in the listening to music and the viewing of movies and the watching of art and seeing the flowers grow and watching the hummingbirds fly by. And it's very like an appreciator of beauty and peace and the world, but not always the greatest at being a go-getter and taking initiative. So hopefully, there is mixture of planets right now that are helping us to take the initiative with this difficult stuff going on in Saturn or in Capricorn. So there is that there, but there could be an equal, like, oh, I just would like to lie around and do what I want to do and just not very go-getter energy. So it can be tricky. You have to kind of like ride the waves because there's all these like kind of waves of energy coming at us right now, helping us evolve and grow. But it's tricky work. It's not linear. It's not obvious. It's not going to, you know, give you a degree in the end or anything kind of obvious in the outer world other than your life working. And your life working and being exactly how you want it to be is pretty much the best example that you could get of human success. And that's what you want. You want to be happy and you want to be authentic and you want to be who you are, doing what you love to do, helping other people. And that generally will be a wonderful mix for success. So we do have lots of opportunity for that with this new moon and you figuring out who you are, the Aries energy helping us be authentic and very much uninterested in what others have to think about what we're doing or where we're going. Lovely energy for that. But you do want to still be open to suggestions and to ideas. And the most successful people surround themselves with people that are smarter than they are. So if you can do that, if you can find some people that are helpful and like supportive to who you are, then that's great. Otherwise, make sure that you keep yourself insulated. Make sure that you are only letting in supportive elements. Be aware, be conscious that, you know, possibly there is with the Piscean energy, the possibility of things not being quite as they seem. Actually, a good example of this is recently coming back from Mexico, I watched this Netflix documentary on the plane about this little missing girl. Probably you've heard about it, although it wasn't really on my radar much until then. But this British family, a couple of doctors, went with a group of friends to Portugal and their child went missing when they had been all at dinner one night. And they were leaving, there was like three families. And this is just the broad strokes. There's very many details to this case. But they were dining at a tapas restaurant not long, like, you know, a couple minutes away from where the children were all sleeping. And they're all little children. The one that went missing was the oldest, and she was about to turn 4. But this group of people, British doctors, had figured that this was safe, and they were taking turns checking on them and blah, blah, blah. Everything was, you know, seemingly fine. But then the little girl goes missing. So there's this huge case, and the Netflix documentary was like 8 hours long, and there's so many little details, and the Portuguese police got involved, and at one point, the Portuguese police basically said that the only real evidence is that the parents did something. That's really all the evidence that they have. So, and this is all hearsay and for entertainment purposes only, because I know this family has done a lot of suing of people that spoke out about them. But interestingly, there's a lot of Piscean energy in this case. The little girl actually was reported missing right with the moon in Scorpio, about to move into Sagittarius at the time. And there's so much, it's just bizarre because they've got the most press that any other missing child case has ever had. And there's all kinds of weird little details. At first, I was convinced that, no, it's not the parents. And you kind of get led to believe whatever the press tells you to believe, which is a really interesting thing about this case as well. So it's very, if you happen to be interested in missing persons cases at all or missing children, I, for some reason, and I do not enjoy this like bizarro hobby of mine that I have, but I've always been fascinated by missing persons cases. Like just like often go into like great detail about like how it happened. And just for some reason, I have this weird fascination. And a couple years ago, someone actually contacted me about a missing child that went missing in France at a wedding. It was a was it just a couple of years ago? Not even quite that now. And I hadn't had any real experience using astrology for this sort of thing. But apparently, and I didn't know this until then, there is a new form of astrology being used called forensic astrology. Actually, I should get the woman who's been kind of training in it to come on the podcast and talk about it. But it's an interesting way of kind of using a chart to figure out what happened. Like, what are the details of this case? And there's techniques that they use. So someone contacted me from France and wanted to know if I could find this little girl, if I had an ability to do this. And at the time I was like, well, I don't think that you can. I mean, there's horary astrology, but I'm not skilled in it. It's very predictive, and I'm kind of more in the psyche level of astrology. But there was this whole way of figuring things out through astrology about missing people. So interestingly, I've sort of been following along, and they ended up finding this little girl, and the killer admitted to what happened, and it was terrible. I mean, they're terrible, dark stories, right? Same with what happened with this little girl. And then I was thinking, I was looking at the charts of the parents and trying to figure things out for myself, going down this rabbit hole. And let me tell you, this is a rabbit hole, this little missing child. Her name is Madeline McCann, if you want to look up the case. There are so many details. And if you go onto YouTube, there's like people that are skilled in they call them micro expressions, where they read people's body language and they can read fascinating line of topic. Let me tell you, they can see by watching people all these, apparently the body won't lie. So if you're lying, or if someone is lying, their body will actually give away that they're lying. And there's this little, like, they'll tell a lie and then do this little smile, which they call duping delight, which gives away that they're kind of excited by the fact that you're believing them. So if you learn to kind of figure out these little details, you can study this, you can see whether people are lying. So the parents are interviewed in this case, and you can find all this stuff on YouTube. Fascinating. And there's all kinds of little signals that they give that, hey, there's something fishy here. There's something not right about what's going on. And it's a giant rabbit hole. It feels like a cover-up by the British government, which makes me think there's some sort of maybe pedophilia ring going on, or just all the people that got involved. It doesn't make sense. It's just bizarre. So this is very Neptunian. They both the mother and the father have Neptune strong in their charts, and in difficult connections to the daughter's chart. The moon that she went missing was at 29 or 28 degrees Scorpio, the very end degrees of Scorpio, which I have my moon at. And I suddenly realized, while I was down the rabbit hole of another missing persons case, that I was wondering, like, why am I fascinated? Yeah, Scorpios are definitely, the Scorpio energy is into finding the deep, dark depths and secrets that are being hidden. But why am I interested in it? Because I don't really want to be dabbling around in the darkness. Like, life's painful enough, right? Like, stay light. But for some reason, this is something that I've always been fascinated with. And I had this idea come to me that the reason that I am so fascinated with missing people is that I was a missing person. I was given up as a baby, as an infant. So my whole life, there was people who knew I was out there, who had wondered what happened to me, who, you know, there was grandparents and aunts and my biological mother and father, and all these people on some level were always, I was missing. I was a missing person. And eventually I ended up becoming like connected to all these people and in contact with them. But I think that somehow this feeling of like just having this sort of resonance or this understanding of being missing, of missing, or what it would be like to have someone missing. So that kind of came to me. And I think that it could very well be true. Not that it's a handy, like helpful way to be, because I don't really want to be like down the rabbit hole of missing people. But studying the astrology, and perhaps one day I will be able to help someone that needs help. And so maybe that's why I'm doing it. Anywho, very Neptunian. If you want to look into that Madeline McCann case, it's pretty kind of amazing and also interesting if you want to form your own, if you're into that sort of thing, if you're into kind of delving deep and detectivizing, as I like to call it. What is the point of it? My hubby asked. Why do you want to go down that road? I don't know. I honestly don't. But it is a fascinating road to go down if you are so inclined. So with the Piscean energy, know that there can be a level of deceit, and that is something that's always possible. So you've got to keep conscious and aware that that could be something going on too. Otherwise, tap into how the creativity of it, the bringing something new into the world, the connection to the cosmos and to others and the oneness. And it's a lovely, very cosmic energy that we can use to create beautiful things on the planet. So be sure to tap into that with this new moon on Friday. So that is it, really. That's the big news for this week. We do have some interesting stuff coming up with the Taurus moon and opportunity for the next week, but I'll be back before then to talk about it. So if you do have any questions, please feel free to contact me at hilaryscott.com or the Everyday Astrology Podcast. Many blessings for a most fruitful new moon in Aries. Thanks so much for listening.